You what? Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Good morning. Happy New Year. Richard, if you'd wait, make your way to a microphone, he has this morning's joke, and we'll share that with you momentarily. But as we're gathering, if you are guests here, we're glad to have you. If you're joining us virtually online, we're glad to have you. Are we online, Miss Paya? We are not sure, so it may be video delay for those online. It's been a morning. It's been quite an interesting morning getting here. Please, Richard, tell us your joke.
Well, with snow coming, it's kind of beyond the fact, but I'm thinking back a couple months when we were harvesting out of our community garden, and my friend Jack, something about his garden was always so much better than mine. If I had a watermelon the size of a good size grapefruit, he had one the size of a basketball. He had green beans coming out of his ears, everything. So I asked him, I said, Jack, what is it with you? I said, we got the same seeds, we're in the same soil, what's the deal? He said, well, when I plant my seeds, as soon as they germinate, I start having a discussion with them and telling them what I expect. And in their own way, they communicate to me exactly what they need in terms of water, fertilizer, etc. So I found out that, in a word, his secret is Jack and the Beanstalk.
Happy New Year. I can see all of you going out there and talking to your beans now. On the back of the bulletin, you find some of the things going on in the church. I want you to be aware of those. We're more or less shifting back to our regular hours in the office. We have a debate about whether or not we need to do an unhanging of the greens on Saturday. All we have to take down, Michael, are you taking down the balcony today? So all we have to take down are the wreaths and the tree. So everything else has been done. We could all come and hang out on Saturday morning, but I'm not sure that we really have all that much to do. Richard, are you and helpers able to do the tree by yourself, or do you need... Do you want to do that this week, or do you want to gather on Saturday and do that? All right, let's leave that up to an informal. So informally, we will not, unless we speak to you individually, we will not have an unhanging of the greens, inviting everybody and having a big shindig. And if you're listening on the internet, he has another commitment right after worship, so he can't do it today. So, Mike Summerall, I've lost you. And Debbie Gunther is just chomping at the bit to share a mission moment with us. Please read. We have on the back of the bulletin as well. Please, Debbie Gunther.
Yes, but first off, the Women of Faith meeting is next Saturday at 10 o'clock. All women of the church are invited. And then the crop fundraiser, the first one of this year, is January 16th. At Bubba's for all day this time, and the percentage that we get from them will be 10% of your invoice. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Way to give to missions, get a nice meal at a nice restaurant, Bubba's Grill, January 16th. Other announcements. Ellen, please.
Yes, I think I caught everybody's, but there will be no choir practice this Wednesday. We will resume a week from Wednesday. Thank you.
Okay. So, things going on. This morning we will celebrate communion. Communion is open. All people are invited to come forward, of all ages, everybody. If you're a visitor, if you're a guest, if you're a longtime United Methodist, you are invited to come forward to partake of the elements. Come down the center aisle, receive the elements, and partake individually, and return to your seats by the side aisle. If you would like us to, we would be happy to bring the elements to you. As the ushers are helping move everyone forward, they will let us know if you are, if you'll indicate to them, they will indicate to us, and we will bring the elements of communion to you. So we celebrate the Lord's Supper today. Other things by way of announcements. I don't see anything else. Ms. Pye, nothing from you? All right. I'm going to ask Ms. Sandy Tenney, our liturgist, to come and stand, and if you will, wave hello to one another, and let's turn to our call to worship.
Please remain standing for the call to worship. Brothers and sisters in Christ, greetings to you on this celebration of the new year. Happy New Year. Greetings, celebrators, shalom. What better way to appreciate the gift of a new year than to come to give thanks to the one who made it? Praise God in the highest for the gift of new life in a new year. We know that in Christ we are born anew, and here and now we look closely at the gift of this coming year. May we be put away old behaviors with a Christmas decoration and find a new and more loving ways of living through Jesus Christ. Come, precious loving Lord, and direct us.
Come, precious loving Lord,
that we remember our thanks and praise. Remain standing for the hymn on page 228, He is Born.
Lord of all the world, come in his name. may be seated.
The first scripture reading for today is from Acts 19, 1 to 7. Paul in Ephesus. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. Thanks be to, oh, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, I think she's read some Bible before. By the, and Wayne in there, as we turn to our prayer time, it's a new year. I guess I need a new tongue. Is that what's going on here? Prayer time. On the back of the bulletin, you see some of our prayer concerns. I want you to be aware of those, and some of those are continuing prayers. We have much to be prayerful for. Are there updates to any of the information on the back of the bulletin as you see it? Are there other concerns that we need to lift this morning? Are there worries or concerns or just prayers of reminder for our journey in Christ? I don't see any. Perhaps that is a good sign and a good new year. We hope so. By way of celebrations, do any of you have celebrations you'd like to lift this morning? It must have been a good New Year's Eve party for everybody. Celebrate being alive, Holly said. Amen. This Sunday, today, Ava Littow has a birthday. How old is Ava? Jim's not here to fill us in, but one of his grandkiddos. Sandy Tinney, Monday, I understand that the man you're living with has a birthday. Is that true?
True. He's going to be 89.
Gene Tinney, 89. Congratulations to him, and yay, amen. I have next Saturday, Kelly Mack's going to be 58. I don't see them this morning, but we celebrate them and lift them. And well, Michael Pia is trying to get her hand up there.
I just want to celebrate having our two daughters here with us. It's a bittersweet day for our eldest, who's a widow. 3 years she's lost her husband today. And we pray and hope that you guys can pray for peace and comfort for her and her children who are here with us.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Glad to have you with us. Isn't it nice to be embarrassed by Pia? She's lovely. We're always happy to embarrass our families, and we do that regularly. Others, other prayers of concern or celebration. I will celebrate something maybe you're not aware as I am, but every week I sweat the weather in the wintertime because if it's going to be snowing on Sunday morning, it's a huge concern. I am grateful that it's waiting till tonight to snow. Those of you commuting tomorrow morning, I am sorry. But we do lift that, and we lift the much needed and much welcome snow and moisture and the gift of God's wonderful weather world. Any other prayers of concern or celebration? If not, turn with me in your bulletin or on the screen our unison prayer and let us read responsively. We look back over the year and remember. We remember the sad and the joyous times. We pray for those afflicted today. We pray that we may offer Christ to all. It's a new year, isn't it? Celebrations. May we embrace the new year with joy and with resolve. Bless us to be faithful servants of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent prayer and meditation. Loving, gracious God, holy Creator, bringer of order out of chaos, offerer of your Son, Jesus Christ, a gift of us through the Holy Spirit, we turn to you, Lord, and give you thanks. We give you thanks that we begin a new year and with opportunities to begin again a journey through the calendar, a journey in our endeavors in being Christians as we're called to be, a new year to find new ways of being, better ways, safer ways, more peaceful ways. As we gather, we've lifted some of our individual prayers. There are individual unspoken prayers that we lift to you, and each of us, and you hear every prayer, and we are grateful. As we are about our prayers, let us be mindful of those with concerns. Let us be mindful of those who are in need, and let us be mindful when we have ability to respond. Empower us and nudge us out of our complacency and guide us to be the Christians that we are called to be. In this new year, Lord, we give you thanks for the ways that you have blessed us, the roofs over our heads, the food on our tables, the clothes on our backs, the joy that we do celebrate, the community we have here, this family of Christ at Burns Memorial. And we celebrate, Lord, your gifts of freedom and your gifts of guidance that we might choose to follow Christ where we are led. Be with us as we come and gather that we might grow and learn, that we might share together and comfort one another and be comforted, and that we might gather with people all around the world in different languages, different cultures, but all praying to Christ in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen, amen, and thank you. And thank you for the ways that you continue to support the church through your offering. Richard and I have discovered that there's an odd fan bearing going out in one of the furnaces, so please think of us fondly. We'll try. We do have heat this morning, amen? And God grant that that will be the case as we continue. But thank you for your offering. Our plates are in the back. We don't pass them through, but let us take a moment to acknowledge and let Barbara offer her offertory. Thank you.
Your second gospel reading this morning is from Mark 1, 4 to 11. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Oh, excuse me, you get some more. The baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I need all my paraphernalia.
I'm inviting the kiddos to come forward and try and find Stephanie and bring her with you, will you? We're going to come forward and sing our song with motions. So all of you young'uns, all of you big kids, all of you little kids, come on forward. Come on forward. And Holly and Stephanie can be in the midst of all. We've got kiddos and kiddos and kiddos. Lucy, you can bring your baby and dance with if you want to. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, young kids. I didn't get to watch closely, but did the baby do well, Lucy? Did all the hand signals? Yeah. Well, everything went in there all right. Amen. The little child shall lead them. This Sunday is an unusual one in that it can be defined as several different things. We can worship it. We can call this Sunday the Epiphany of the Lord, which was Epiphany was January 6th. We can call this Baptism of the Lord. We have scriptures for both, and it's just one of those interesting phenomena with the way the calendar doesn't always line up with the same day of the week and what have you. So, but we are celebrating this morning as Baptism of the Lord. And did you see the cover of the bulletins? Did you look at it closely? Paya's going to bring it up here for you. Next slide there. And it's a little harder to see, but on your bulletin you can see it. There's at the bottom, you see Jesus is being baptized by John. Pretty straightforward, you see, and he's got the halo, the nimbus. Look what he's standing on. He's standing on the snake. Isn't it intriguing? There's a knot in the snake. I don't know what that means, but there's a knot in the snake. What's directly above Jesus' head? Yeah, you see that? There's the Holy Spirit descending upon him. Go up further into the upper right, you can see there, you see God's hand, and he is making the symbol of Christ, and he is offering down his blessing upon Jesus. To the right, there's some angel, and I'm not sure what that's about. And to the left, there's another angel kneeling, as it were, and holding a bag. What is that bag? Anybody know? It's our interpretation. That's what art is about. So what does it mean to us? What does it mean? This could be any number of things. I don't really have an answer for that one. And I tried to find more about this particular painting, this artwork. It is, I cited it, Johannes Vardapet, Armenian. But I thought it was interesting to put that out there and to set it in front of us. There's a lot of symbology. There's a lot of meaning. And most of us had some reaction. We knew what that snake was about, Jesus standing upon the snake, that rascally snake from the Garden of Eden. So we have some sense of what that's about. But we might want to take today and just ask, what is baptism? You know, it's kind of an interesting. There's all kinds of different things that we think we know all about in the church, but what, for example, how much do you know about when Jesus was growing up? These years between being a baby and when he comes to the River Jordan there and John is baptizing, how much have you read about that in your Bibles? There's nothing there, almost. We hear that his mother and father brought him to the temple to be blessed by Simeon and Anna. And there might have been a time when he traveled with his family and that he was teaching in the temple, but other than that, there isn't anything more that's biblical. So we never name that, but I've heard people ask, well, I don't know the Bible well enough. For example, I don't know what he did as a kid. Well, we don't know. And so now we're naming the fact that we don't know what we don't know. You know what I mean? Have to work our way into that. This is a new year. But what is baptism? How many of you have been baptized? How many babies have been baptized here? I don't see any babies raising their hands, but uno? Yeah, okay, all right. How many of you were baptized as a baby? That's a good question for you. Okay. So do you remember it? And do you remember asking the questions and having those questions answered? And what is baptism all about? I mean, it's an intriguing thing. Here we heard the passage, John is baptizing, the baptism of repentance. And Jesus comes to him, and John recognizes him as the Messiah. And says, Lord, I cannot baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus says, do this now to fulfill all righteousness. We have to interpret what he meant by that. But John agrees and baptizes Jesus in the Jordan. And the Spirit's open, the heavens open, and the Spirit of God's, and the Spirit comes down, and this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. It's that moment of acknowledging Christ's Messiahship and the beginning of his ministry. So that is baptism, and it is John's baptism, and it's kind of interesting to ask the question, if that's baptism, then what about babies? How do babies get baptized, and why? Baptism is a time to make a statement of acceptance, a vow, a confession, and to make your believer's baptism is what it's called. So how do babies do that? Have you ever seen an infant baptism in our church? We do it all the time, don't we? We have babies and they come forward and I hold them and we splash a little water on their forehead and some of them like it and some of them do not. The majority actually kind of enjoy it. But what is that? The child can't make any vows of obedience. But we make a set of vows for them. The church makes a vow to support and raise the child. The parents make a vow to raise the child as a Christian child. The Roman Catholic Church developed the theology of purgatory. Have you ever heard of purgatory? It's not in the Bible. It's not even there. It's something set aside. It's a tradition of theirs, and don't really know what it is. I'm not Catholic enough to know how that works or what it is, but I've heard families come forward. They want to get their children baptized quickly so they won't be caught up in purgatory. I said, but you're United Methodists, and they said, I don't understand the question. That's all right, because it's all gotten confused and it's all twisted around. If you are Baptist, by the way, those infant baptisms don't count. You have to make a believer's baptism. You have to say it for yourself. In our tradition in the United Methodist Church, we reserve that right for after confirmation. You go through confirmation class and then you make a vow as you join the church. But you're not baptized again because we don't allow that. You cannot be baptized more than once in our denomination. And the reason is the baptism is what God has done. We call it an indelible sacrament. You've heard of an indelible marker. You get a marker and you mark on something and it's there and it's permanent and forever. And it's the kind of thing you never give to a child. You understand indelible sac? So an indelible sacrament is God's mark on a human being. And it is as bright at 89 years old, where'd Sandy go? When Gene's baptism is as bright on his birthday as it was on the day that he was baptized. God doesn't forget, God doesn't make mistakes, and what God has done doesn't wear out. That ought to get an amen. Let's do that. Amen. There we go. All right, I had a set of notes and I have no idea where I am in them. Let me catch up here. During confirmation, young people often say, well, I want to be baptized again. And I have to tell them, no, I can't baptize you again because it's done and it has finished. That mark is on you. God is already connected to you. But you can reaffirm the words of your baptism. You can remember your baptism and be thankful. So we do that. We do a reaffirmation or what have you. So there is that baptism and the reaffirmation. But John was out in the desert. Wasn't he a character? Eating locusts and honey. How many of you had locusts and honey for breakfast this morning? Right there with your Cheerios, munching those down. How many have ever eaten a locust? I understand chocolate-covered locusts are a thing. Haven't had the... Have you? Oh, you have not. Barbara says she has not. I've known a couple people who said, yeah, it's pretty good, just nice and crunchy, and I just won't want to go there. I guess I'm a little squeamish or what have you. How did we get off track? John is baptizing. He's out in the wilderness, and he has gathered people around him who are repenting of the evils they've done and repenting of the lives they've lived that were not faithful. And so he is taking them into the Jordan and washing away all those things that they want to repent of. We know what that means. I have things I would like to repent of. I bet you do. I don't know that. Maybe some of you are pure and spotless and sinless. But repenting of what has been and being cleansed and brought into right relationship and being brought into John's gathering, into his church. I don't know that it was called the Johannine Church. It might have been an early version of what was called the Way. But nonetheless, John is baptizing this baptism of washing away the sins, washing away the dirt, washing away the smudges, washing away the wrongs and the mistakes, and forgiving. And that's what happens when Paul goes to Corinth. He goes to the people and he says, with what were you baptized? John's baptism of repentance. And he says, well, what about the Holy Spirit? And they say, the what? That's what it says in the Greek. The what? Not really, but you're with me on that. We don't get it. What's the Holy Spirit? What is that? And you might poll people today. What is the Holy Spirit? We hear about it on Pentecost, tongues as a fire descended upon each of them. Everyone gathered and gave them utterance, the ability to speak to others and offer Christ. And so Paul baptizes them in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Holy Spirit, in a gathering that isn't just about letting go of what you've had in the past, but celebrating what is in the future, light and life, and life everlasting, and joy and peace. Shalom. This is the first Sunday of the year. By the way, did I cover baptism okay now? So there's two baptisms. John's baptism was about washing away, if you will. But Jesus' baptism is about joining, about being a part, and about welcoming the Holy Spirit in and allowing that Spirit upon us. So this new Sunday, I worked with a pastor, the first pastor I served with, Keith Merriman, wonderful preacher, but he, every first Sunday of the year, he had set up a baptismal font. You could come forward and remember your baptism. Not rebaptized, but remember your baptism and just realize that we are forgiven and that Christ is with us. We're not going to do that this morning, obviously. But we're in the midst of journeying in the new year, and as we come into that new year, and if we were to remember our baptism, there might be an important step in doing that as we come forward. We might want to say, well, I've made some mistakes that I need to leave behind. And that's called confession. Confession comes as a part of our gathering. Confession comes as we gather in the new year. Confession comes as we turn to our communion. Join me. Paya, do you have that confession slide? Let us read responsively. Can you read it? On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you reject evil and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? We do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? We do. Amen and amen. I invite you to our new year and to a Holy Communion on our new year. Pastor Neil. Here. You see us whispering back and forth to each other up here. We've carefully prepared as of about 6 seconds ago. And we don't have to prepare very much because we have done this before. And you use the term my eat. Your joy. And it is my call is to serve communion. Because communion is that time of gathering that Jesus taught all of his followers when you gather. And it's a way of remembering and centering back to Christ. And Christ at the Last Supper with the disciples. Sitting at the Last Supper, they were in the normal Passover feast. And it is a scripture and it's readings, and they do it routinely every year. It's memorized. But in the middle of it, Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Broken for the forgiveness of sin. Christ's real living body. Scholars around the world have debated many things, but no one doubts the physical existence of Jesus of Nazareth. Archaeologists have no question that this is a real person. People might question all kinds of history, but here is a piece that is solid and we remember it. The disciples were startled by what happened and they didn't really know what to think, and the meal went on and they thought, well, all right, I guess we'll have to remember that bread breaking thing. But at the end of the meal, Jesus took the cup. It is the Elijah cup, the only cup left on the table, left for the coming of the prophet Elijah. And he takes the cup and he gives thanks to God for it. Do we remember to give thanks to God for what we've received? We need to. Christ gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you partake of it in remembrance of me. So we are about that this morning. We are about remembering and doing this in remembrance and returning to Christ as we begin our new year. Amen? Amen. I invite our lay leader from the Tongans. Melba, would you be willing to help serve from our... We invite you to come and partake. The body of Christ broken for you. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember whose you are and be thankful. And always return to God the glory. Amen. Richard returned unexpectedly rapidly, and he's going to take down the tree if some of us are able to stay around right after the worship and help him. And the unhanging of the greens will have been accomplished. So if you are physically able and willing, a little bit after worship. We have a hymn. Please lead us in that closing hymn. Stand if you're able.
No.
Yes, our closing hymn, number 254, We Three Kings, verses 1, 2, and 5.
Amen and Happy New Year. It is a new one, brand spanking clean and ready for us. Shall we be the Christians that God has called us to be? Amen. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us be those called. Amen. Join hands, let's sing our closing. God's people said, amen.
Amen.